Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? It's Sunday morning. It's a good time to fellowship again together this morning. I know it's been different, right? Not having to be together in our space. And then all we have been doing is being online for everyone to just get faith built up on their inside. All right, so we're going to start right away. And I believe you're set for service this morning. I believe your spirit, soul, and body is ready. I hope the sleep is off in your eyes right now and your eyes are not closing by themselves. All right, let's start this morning just giving thanks. That's what we're going to do right now. Hallelujah. It's been good. It's been good. God has been faithful to every one of us. He's been good to us. Thank you, Father. In this house, we do not have any cause to sorrow. Hallelujah. We don't have any cause to be saddened. All right. And that's something to give God praise for. Really, it is. All right. So I want us to thank God as we begin this morning. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18 says, pray without ceasing. And then verse 18 says, in everything, hallelujah, it says, in everything, give thanks. Glory to God. Everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. This is what God will expect us to do every day of our lives. Just giving praise and giving thanks to Him. Adoring Him, loving Him for who He is and who He has made us to be in Christ Jesus. Could you just right now go ahead and just thank the Father? Oh, go ahead and thank Him for His faithfulness. Thank Him for His love. Thank Him for His comfort to us. Thank Him for the sacrifice. Thank Him. He's a good God. He's our good God. He's our Abba Father. Go ahead and give Him praise. Thank Him. He is God on all. He is God in the immense affairs. He is God. He remains God forevermore. He remains God in your life, in my life. It remains God in all that we are involved in. He remains God. Go ahead and just thank Him this morning. Thank Him this morning. Father, we thank You. We give You praise for life. Hallelujah. We give You praise for life. We thank You. We thank You for even in this season, there are testimonies. In this season, there are celebrations. In this season, things are happening for us. Hallelujah. Could you just thank him for your own life. Hallelujah. Thank him for He is a good God. Thank him for your home. Thank Him for your children. Thank Him for your marriages. Thank Him for your academic pursuits. Thank Him. I know a lot of people are doing a lot of online courses at this time, going through different trainings. Just thank Him for the ability, for the skills. Thank Him. Just thank Him for the season. Thank Him for wisdom at this time. Hallelujah. Thank him. He's a good God. A good God. Thank You, Father. We worship You. We bless Your holy name for that You are doing even in our midst. We thank You, Father. Could You now switch to all the tongues right now and give Him praise in tongues? Bible says when we give Him thanks in tongues, we do it perfectly well. So go ahead and just switch right now and thank Him in all the tongues. Oh, Father, we thank You. Makuso palakra dozenenga ratoto leka bosha baradoza. Oh, Father, we worship You. We worship You. We worship You. Keramaro rosa, la carosa, beira rosa. Acosa, leca dosha, manena rosa. Oh, maleca, batera, batosa, macosa. We call this season a good time, so it is a good time. We call this season a favorable time, so it is favorable. Hallelujah. We call this season an advantageous time for us, and it is. Whatever we decree that it is, it becomes. Go ahead, thank him. A profiting time, makira mosupra, profit, spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise, Jesus. Halekendoroboza, mako doza leka doza, obarosa meka nosa mandosa. All things are working together for our good, even in this season. Hallelujah. Karo makira kadosha. Endorosa manda le kadosa. Ekarababa barokosa manta lengadosa negadosa. Eransho manto lebradosa. Ekusu fruto labrandon de lebada kabakabo. Ikosu mrando lebransa menkarasa. Erarara keronto labranke rodosa. Ekusha manta le kadosa. Ora dosa. Eraba dorosa menkana matonda da kadega labrokosa. We give you praise, we give you praise. Go ahead, switch, 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 switch. Sing that in the Holy Ghost. Sing it out, sing it out in tongues in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, manda da bata yarosa. Ekaro dosa badega dosa lega dosa. Ekora bosa makunta leka dasa. Ekera mato lento. Romborobo so crada sananta leke yeza. Era monsororo shakira bosa. We give you praise, we give you praise. Ala caronde le carabarose. Eya da 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 da. Eya da 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 da. O marosa carabosa. Era rosa carabosa. Eronso manta le parosa. Paro mekira parose kifuto. Baroso menka rosa pradosa, ekuso manto lenka rose fetuso, ekusha manto labatsataya. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Hallelujah. Because he trusts in you. We're trusting God in this season. We're trusting and staying on God's word in this season. We're staying on God's word for the rest of our lives, really. But this season, we need to get intense, align ourselves to what he's saying. All right. And Bible says there that when we do that, he will keep us in perfect peace because our mind is stayed on him. When your mind is stayed upon the Lord, he tells you things. You begin to see things. You begin to hear things. You begin to know things from the Father. So right now, I just want you to thank God for that word right now, because you're going to be hearing a word this morning and your heart will be kept in peace once again. Hallelujah. Could you go ahead and just say, Father, I thank you for the word that will come to me this morning. Thank you, Father, because you keep my mind in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Hallelujah. Through your word, I'm kept in perfection in the name of Jesus. Your word brightens my heart. Your word gives me wisdom. Your word makes me well. In case there's any one of us right now that feel pain anywhere, the word is going to heal you this morning. So go ahead and just say, Father, I thank you for your word coming to me this morning. I have revelation. I have illumination. In the name of Jesus, I have revelation, I have illumination, I've got clarity, glory to God. Thank you, Father, I've got wisdom, I know what to do, I know how to do it, in the name of Jesus, right now and now. Thank you, Father, I'm kept, hallelujah, by your word. I'm kept by your word. I'm kept by your word. I'm controlled by your word. I'm influenced by your word in this season. Thank you, Lord, for as the word keeps coming to me, I'm built up. Hey, I'm built up. Hallelujah. I'm built up. I'm built up. I'm built up mentally. I'm built up. I'm built up emotionally. I'm built up. Lekusha makorosa. More than anything, I'm built up spiritually. Glory to God. I'm built built up. I'm built up. Oh, in this season. I'm built. I'm built in perfection. Thank you, Jesus. I'm built. I'm built up. I'm kept. Because I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. Anybody trusting the Lord even in this season with me? Oh, go ahead and rejoice. I trust my Father. I trust my Father. All is well. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. All things truly work together. Marusa kabante lebrante. Iko shamanto lekedosa. Oh, Marusa, our hearts are opened to all that you have for us this morning. All in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, give him praise, give him praise, give him praise. He is faithful. Hallelujah. And he keeps us in perfect peace. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Just with our hands lifted, just go ahead and still thank him. Just thank him. Just thank him. You know, for the next few minutes, I just want us to worship him. I can't tell whatever environment you might be, where you are, you know, but we're doing church, so let's do church, all right? So let's have our hearts involved and also to just flow with one of our previous worship sessions and then just get blessed. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Come and just sing to it, just sing to it, just sing to it. Hela no salamane, hela la bande. Hela la la baye, hela no salamane. Oh, come and let your worship rise. Let your worship rise. The word, yes. You are the word of God.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We give praise. We give praise to the Lord. We give praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Good morning and good morning and good morning. Welcome to the first Sunday of the month of April. Yeah, it is first Sunday of the month of April. So we're grateful. We're excited. You know, great things in store for us. Great things available for us. Great things. Great things. All right. Welcome to your Sunday morning radio church. I believe we're good. Yes, I believe we are. All right. I believe we're good. I believe that all things are working together for our good. I believe that you're fine, that you're doing great, that you're, you know, you're exceptional where you are. I believe that. All right. So welcome to church. I'm sure we're missing ourselves. I'm sure we're, and we're looking forward to, you know, being able to, you know, get together and being able to gather. I'm sure that you know, we have the chance, you know, the opportunity, you know, to just, we look forward to it. All right. So praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So I guess you have your pen, your paper, your jotter, your tab or phone to take notes with and all of that. You know, so let's jump in. Now, on Wednesday, we talked about faith, hope, love. So I would want to pick a few things or begin from there. Faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. It says, now abides faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now abides these three. We have faith, we have hope, and we have love. It says the greatest of the three is love. And I said that the use of the word greatest there is in context. But primarily love is the motive. Love is the motivator, which is basically what the entire chapter, you know, is talking to us about. And then we'll get there, you know, definitely in the next few minutes. So very importantly, one thing for sure is that confidence. So for a believer, let me go to hope and then come to faith. So for a believer, where lies your hope? In what is your hope? All right. So help me flip two chapters, you know, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Where is your hope? Where lies your hope? We've endeavored teaching, and I know we need to still do a whole lot more. I'm talking about who we are in Christ, the riches of our inheritance in Christ, and all of that. And one thing that must be understood this morning is that the reality of who we are in Christ is, I've said that before, this knowledge is one of the greatest gifts you could give to yourself, all right? Knowing who you are in Christ, such that your self-esteem is not attached to things. Your self-esteem is not attached to people. Your self-esteem is not on what you have or what you do not have. Your self-esteem is on who you are. And by that, I mean who you are in Christ. All right? Not, I'm single, so I'm not okay. I'm married, so I'm okay. I'm married, my marriage is not okay, so I'm not okay. I'm married, my marriage is okay, so I'm okay. I have X amount in my bank account, I'm okay. I don't have that amount in my bank account, I'm not okay. Paul was a prisoner, all right, and he stood before King Agrippa. And Paul, you know, defending the gospel, said to him, "Oh, King Agrippa, I wish that, you know, you can be as I am." He said, "Except for these chains in my hand." If Paul, you know, was a man of low self-esteem and easily intimidated by people who had more than him, Paul would definitely not be able to make that statement. Secondly, if all that Paul understood, you know, was, you know, my faith means that, you know, my faith is always working. Nobody can harm me. I can never be, well, maybe not harm, but I mean, by my faith is working, so nobody can even chain me. I can never be arrested. Jesus will protect me all the days of my life. Thank God Jesus had revealed to him, you know, at the point where Jesus, you know, made himself manifest to him and said, "Listen, I'll show you
many things you're going to have to suffer for my sake. You speak before kings, you know, for me, but I will show you many things you would suffer for my sake. Thank God he was prepared for that. If not, we wonder, man, this man's faith is just not working. Every place he goes to, you know, there's trouble. You know, because believers, all because we're too... And whilst we teach victory, and listen, 2 Corinthians, all right, chapter 2 and verse 14, is clear that Christ leads us in triumph. It doesn't remove the believer from certain things that might not be convenient. Paul told Timothy to endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. So there are times that certain things might be tough. Certain things, the defense of the gospel would not always be tolerable. People might spit at you, slap you. Some friends will say, you're taking this thing too far. I can't be with you anymore. Your boss might say, I found out you're a Christian. The next project we want to do here, I can't put you on it. You know, Kenneth Copeland said many things a number of years ago, and I've heard Andrew Womack, you know, say the same thing, but, you know, so I might not know who originally now said it first, but, I mean, I know Andrew Womack also learned a bit of things, or quite a number also from Kenneth Copeland, but I'm saying I don't know whether Copeland, I heard it from someone else, but I heard it from Kenneth Copeland very, very many years ago. First time I heard it was like 2000, yeah, 2000 or something. You know, Copeland said, and we acted it as a short drama then in church, Copeland said that if being a Christian eventually becomes a crime, excuse me, and he was talking to Americans, all right, if being a believer in this nation eventually becomes a crime, would there be enough evidences against you? Would there, you know, would there be any evidence? Would someone say, this one's a Christian, and we told him to change the figures at the office, you know, he said, no, he's a Christian. You know, this one is a Christian. We told her to, you know, do X, Y, Z. She said, lie, she's a Christian. You know, this one is a Christian. It's not all that they see you carry the Bible and go to church. Good stuff. But when Christianity, assuming, becomes, you know, a crime, you find that half of that crowd might not be available. So it's not I go to church, because right now, you know, now that it's even just not to even, you don't have to bathe, you don't have to dress up, you know, you don't have to do anything right now to listen to an online service. And you find a lot of believers just might still not want to. They might want to now at their convenience. Now it is super highly supercharged convenient. You know, but we could still want to do it at our own convenience. You know, and I remember, was it in Ijebode a few weeks ago or maybe months back, you know, which I know I said at the Lagos church also, that we cannot keep raising convenient Christianity or convenient Christians. That's not core discipleship, you know. So where's your hope? Is your hope just in, oh, my faith is working, man, now I have money, Jesus is Lord, Jesus, thank you for all the things, you know, that you've done for me. And that's over the years in church, we keep saying that our thanksgiving should not be solely on material things. If not, we'll train the believer that that's where your hope can be, that's where your hope is in. But your hope should be in who you are, what he's made you to be, who he has made you to be. Doesn't mean you shouldn't shoot or aspire for more. But you do not lose your identity while aspiring. No, you don't. You know, there have been many, many, many a Christian who have quit on church all because certain prayers were not answered. Who've quit on Jesus all because they released their faith for something, they didn't come on time. Oh, prayer is not answering. It's not worth it. Oh, you've not come to understand what he did for you. If not, if he moved us from darkness to light alone and we understood that and there was nothing else attached, we'll be eternally grateful, guys. But the good thing is, in moving us from darkness into light, inside that light is all that we want and more. He that spared not his own son, remember Romans 8, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Everything is already embedded in Christ. But your identity, your pursuit, your esteem, everything about you should be about you. Have you come to love yourself for who he says you are? without the eyelashes, without the extra hair, without the heels, without, have you just come to love yourself? You know, have you, without that job, guy, without that car or wristwatch, without those friends, you know, whatever, the perfume, have you come to love your, this is not loving you, the lazy you, I'm okay the way I am, nobody loves me, I just want to be okay. This is still, so that's another extreme. That's not what I'm saying. You in Christ, have you come to fall in love with who he says you are? And you know, we can't do this if we don't go to the word to find out what he's saying about it, what he's saying to us. So I need us to give attention, please, to this. Please, I need us to give attention. Where is my hope? So I'll pick first from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that what I preached unto you, unless you heard it in vain. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, and some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they, or yet not I, but the grace of God which was given to me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and our faith also is vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised up not, if so be that the dead is not raised. Hope you understand the King James I'm reading. All right. But I assume that you might have a more clearer version, like New King James, or at least NLT. Verse 16 says, for if the dead raise not, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ be raised not, then your faith is vain, and you are in your sins. Then they who are falling asleep in Christ, they are dead. And if in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Right? If in this Christ, in this life alone, we have hope in Christ, then we are of all men most miserable. If all about our walk of faith, our Christianity, and everything is just centered around this earth, it doesn't have any eternal strength, any eternal anchor, then how are we different from everybody else? All right? But we are people of hope. We are people of hope. This hope dashes and smashes human understanding. This hope has no room for despair. This hope doesn't get confused. And I know there's a whole lot of stuff out there which, no commenters at this morning. All right. If Jesus comes tomorrow night, assuming, we are not one of those hopeless people. And I'm not needing to preach anything I've not preached before. I remember, which I've said it many, many times back then, for those that have been in church or in the ministry way earlier, you'd have heard me say, really, when someone says, oh, Jesus coming soon, and then we start saying, oh, I'm not married yet, or I've not bought my car or house, sometimes it shows you where your mind is. And allow me, you know, but it also shows how much attention we've placed to material things. You know, because the truth is, if you get all the things here and then you move into heaven, you really won't have a record of them. So all the things you want to taste, you know, I have not visited the world yet. Wow, there are countries I've not seen. Ah, man, I need to go to Paris. Ah, you know, I need to see the Eiffel Tower. Oh, gosh. Man, at least let me see 3 of the 7 wonders of the world. If you see the streets of gold, you will forget anything that is on this earth. So the issue is, you know, that hope we have usually and the faith we have usually is tied to material things. You know, but our hope transcends time. Glory to God. Our hope enters into eternity. You know, Hebrews. You know, and I love Hebrews chapter 6. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Hebrews 6 and 12. He says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, multiplying I'll multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them all an end of all strife. Wherein God, hallelujah, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things in which is it impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil, whether the forerunner, whether rather the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's saying that our hope is sure, our hope is eternal, our hope has entered behind the veil, all right? Meaning our hope is something that lasts into the very presence of God, where Jesus is right now, where he's entered on our behalf. So our hope is not earthly. Our hope is, you know, not, no. You remember that popular verse in Ephesians 2? Ephesians 2 from the 11th verse says, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, you were. So who should be hopeless? At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. So the hopeless person is the one without hope. I mean, without God, without Christ. I love verse 13. It says, but now, hallelujah, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometime far off have been made near by the blood. Glory to God. Glory to God. I've been brought near. I'm now a member of a household. So all the things I didn't have before in verse 12, I have them now. So let's see verse 12. It says, at that time you were without Christ. So that means at this time, you know you're with Christ, right? So you have to, you can now read the rest in reverse. At that time you were without Christ. So now I am with Christ. Now I'm no longer alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Or now I'm a partaker of the commonwealth of Israel. I am a sharer in the covenants of promise. I have hope and I've got God in this world. Let's do that like one more time. Would that be fine? All right. At this time, I am with Christ. I am a partaker of the commonwealth of Israel. I am a sharer of the covenants of promise. I have hope and I'm with God in this world. We're not hopeless. Don't enter any scare trap. You know, no matter certain realities, all right, like I said, no comment. I've had few people ask, what do you have to say? Most of my things, stay with the word, be led by the Holy Ghost. When it's time to say something. If you notice on Facebook also, maybe it was just this week, I finally started saying a little bit about what's going on the broadcast. I always face the word first. So Are there realities in what's being said? Are there not? Not this morning. But certain things are clear. Get into the word, stay with the word, all right? But all, what I would say is there are still certain end time realities that the church is not aware of, all right? And like Paul said, we shouldn't act like them that sleep, because the truth is, if the church is not aware and awake, when the time gets nearer, the body of Christ even will still also act like people that don't have hope. All right? And the time is nearer. Okay? So the time is nearer. There's no simple reality more than that. All right? Is Jesus coming soon? The answer is that soon. Has he always been soon? Yeah. Each passing day, it gets sooner. The time is nearer. Systems are being set up. Things are going on. Things have been going on and they will continue to go on, all right? And everything will play up until the very last day. Prophecies are being fulfilled. So, but I'm saying we're not without hope. We're not without Christ. We're people of faith. We're people of hope. And our hope is until the last day. So whether this lockdown season, whether, and like I said, this issue is not the biggest in some other person's life. All right. Some persons didn't have a good job before this lockdown, so it just made it worse. Then after the lockdown, they still don't have a job. So the fact that they don't have a job or proper sustenance still would remain the biggest thing on their mind. Some, it's a health condition. They're battling somewhere. Yes, there's a larger global scare right now, you know, on a particular pandemic. But for certain people, they've lived on the death roll, you know, of a particular sickness or disease. For months, for years, they've been on that death row waiting for that day they would die. They have already been there. So this for them is, this is just all of you now feeling the way I'm feeling. Me, I've been feeling like one day I'll die and I'll die soon. So when this blows over, we're still going to come back to the word. So let's just as well stay with the word. Stay with the word, child of God. Stay with the word. You're a person of faith. You're a person of hope. And your faith, which I thought maybe was at the Lagos Church sometime last year. The primary understanding of the word faith is not just faith to receive and believe and receive. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith in his word. All right? Yes, and all promises are involved in the word, but your faith in him. Total reliance. All right? Your ability to say, if this is what the Lord tells me to do, this is what I will do. I have faith in him. I mean, people have a hard time believing in Jesus they can't see, but then they still believe in a virus they cannot see. So it's that we're selective in believing, and that's human. But we're people of faith. We're people that believe in Jesus, worship Jesus, and that's why we're all gathered here this morning and telling ourselves, listen, I believe in him, and I believe he died for me, like 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. I believe he rose again. I believe in the resurrection of the dead, and I believe. That's my faith working, and my hope that someday I'm going to see him face to face. That's my hope working. That's your hope working. That this whole time will pass. All right? That this whole time will pass. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 1. Because this faith now will have corresponding action, okay? 1 John chapter 3. You know, in the first verse of 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not because the world knew him not. Beloved, now, hallelujah, not tomorrow, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he will appear, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. This is hope here. This is hope. All right? Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not here appear what we shall be. All right? So he's expressing our hope in him, but we know. So hope here is not, I hope. Hope is, I said, you know, on Wednesday, faith, hope, and love, they are three forces. They are forces. They are spiritual energies. So this hope here is not que sera, sera. It's not however it goes, you know. No, it's firm. Do you remember what we read in Hebrews 6? It's an anchor. Oh, dear Lord. Let me go to Hebrews 6 and I'll be back here. Hebrews 6. I want to explain this anchor. So let me scroll down. Okay, so are you there with me also? All right, so Hebrews 6 and 19. It says, which hope, this hope, all right, that is set before us, this hope which we have, are you with me? Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. We could read through and then like, okay, I read it, sir. What is it? Anchor. Who uses the anchor? The sailor. Where does he use the anchor? Deep sea. What does the anchor do? The anchor holds the ship down. That, you know, heavy metal, you know, that you get to see on some, you know, symbols. That heavy, how do you describe the shape now? Anchor. All right. Okay, so I'm talking to people that know anchor. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. So now, so the anchor is dropped. It gives stability. It gives stability to the ship. It holds it because of the heaviness of the metal. It holds it down so that the waves and the winds and the things beating cannot move it. You know, certain people also, maybe they get into the deep sea, they want to fish, they want to do some diving. They drop the anchor first. The anchor goes in. It brings stability. So it says the hope we have is an anchor to our soul. Because it's in the soul again that things are disturbed. Hey, what's happening? What's going on? My life, what's in my life? Why am I like this? Why am I behaving like this? Something holds you. People can't understand your stability. He says this anchor is both sure, hallelujah, and is steadfast. The anchor we have, the promises of God, the surety in God's word, the immutability of his covenant, it keeps us stable. It keeps us stable. This anchor transcends anything human. And that's why he says here that is sure and steadfast, and it enters into that is within the veil, where the foreigner is for us also entered, even Jesus that is made a high priest. Because people wonder, how come we believe so much in the Lord? It's because there's an anchor. But for many Christians now, they unconsciously have moved the anchor from the word, and they've put the anchor in society. So when things fail in the society, hey, what's going on? Ha, what's happening? No, your anchor is not in society. Your anchor is in the word. Someone's put the anchor in, you know, there shouldn't be challenges. Oh, the Christianity me I signed for is not a Christianity of challenges. Oh, honey, Jesus said in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Persecution will arise for the sake of the word. Faith teaching is out of place if we teach you faith that says you will never have challenges. Can Hagin tell you that? Can Copeland tell you that? Faith teaches you that irrespective of what happens to you, there will be victory. Because some believers are so, nobody told me there'll be. No, come on. We have victory. But doesn't mean that it will just fall on your laps like ripe, what now, mango. So where's your anchor? Where's your anchor? I'm so lonely. If I have a relationship, I'll be okay. Then you have a relationship. With this relationship, if we can only get married, we'll be okay. Listen, life would always just push us back and forth. Then you're married. Then I say, this marriage itself, it's better to be single. It's because you keep placing your anchor in the wrong places. Your anchor is in the word. Your anchor is in the Lord. Even when a believer passes on, while it might look like defeat, it's also victory. Because to live is Christ. To die is gain. You know, just, that person died. Yes, I understand. You shouldn't die before time. I mean, I've taught you guys all that. But I've taught you again that you die again. So where really is the defeat? Where is the anchor of the believer? Because whoever gets to heaven, and if you've ever heard cases of people that were raised from the dead, some of them have had to ask people that raised, who sent you to raise me up? Who sent you? You know, it's because this world we live in is so... you know, this world we live in is all that we know. But God's word shows us something more. So we're like fishes, all right? Now, which is good in explaining the life of a believer. You know, with the word, we're like fishes inside water, such that everything you need as a believer is inside that water. Everything you need is in water, all right? But this other analogy also helps what I'm about to say. All right, so we're like fishes, all right, that live in the water. So everything is in the water. Now, not believer's life. I'm talking about just human life, all right? So everything we live in is in this earth, you know, all of that. So one fish now decides to, you know, like doing some of those movies, now decides to swim offshore, and they warn him, don't ever go there, blah, blah, blah. So the guy flies out a bit, flies in and says, there's something else. There's a different world out there. They say, no, there's nothing there. And, you know, those are the fishermen get to catch, you know, don't have the opportunity to come back and tell the guys in the water that there's really another life. So sometimes, you know, it's like, so whoever passes out of the earth cannot say, man, so I went to heaven. This is what it looks like. But the few people that come back, you know, some come back with funny stories anyway. But some that come back, they're like, am I sure this person is telling me the truth? But the day you finally go, you're gone. You might not be able to go and come back. But you don't need to even go. The word of God just simply says, listen, the place is far better. All right, and to be absent from the body is to be present with them. Listen, we have hope. We have hope. We have too much hope from God's word. I know I've spent ample time on hope. But we need to keep reminding the believer, you've got hope. You've got a lot of it. You've got a whole lot of hope. You've got hope. Listen, and your hope is not human. It's not in things. It's not in systems. It's not in the society. Your hope is in the Lord and in His word. Okay, so we've heard a bit of more faith. I feel like just go straight, you know, to love. 1 Corinthians 13, I said we'll do that before we're done. So let's go to the 13th verse, where we started from. All right, so 1 Corinthians 13, from the first verse. Or we read the last verse again. 1 Corinthians 13. Now abides faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Now abides the power of faith, the power of hope, the power of love. All right, the greatest of these is love. All right. So let's go to the last verse of chapter 12, the last verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, 1 Corinthians 12, 31. I want to build that because I'm sure you know that the Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses. This was a letter Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. So it wasn't possible with chapter 1, chapter 2, but it was broken down for easy referencing and all. So the last verse, all right, that's 1 Corinthians 12 and 31, says, but covet earnestly these gifts, all right? So talking about ministry gifts and spiritual gifts and all, that's what he taught here. He taught gifts, administrations, and operations. So he says, covet earnestly these gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So that's how we entered chapter 13. So I want to show you a more excellent way. Covet these gifts, okay? But I'm showing you a more excellent way. Covet these gifts. I'm showing you, I'm repeating myself intentionally. Covet these spiritual gifts, all right? So he's not saying don't, all right? Covet these gifts. But I want to show you a more excellent way. Covet these gifts. I want to show you a more excellent way. So you enter chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. Don't forget, he just talked about gifts. He's not knocking out the gifts. He ended by saying, covet the gifts. So the next line now says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, like King James puts it, but I'm not displaying charity, which is love, I have become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So someone says, well, that means the tongues are not important. No, don't forget, covet earnestly these gifts. But I want to show you a more excellent way. Covet earnestly these gifts. So he didn't say rubbish the gifts. He just finished teaching them how to use the gifts well and the source of the gifts and the operations of the gifts. So these gifts are in, they are in place. They are relevant to the body of Christ. He says, but there is a way they would operate at best potential. All right? At optimum. Is that a better way to put it? Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I'm using King James, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, another gift he mentioned, and I understand all mysteries, and I have all knowledge, and though I have all faith, gift which he mentioned, that I can remove mountains, and I have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, he now moves into what you might call what? Benevolence and all. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I mean martyrdom, and I have not charity, profits me nothing. All the things listed are wonderful, but he's saying your motive, your motivator, your regulator must be agape. You know, the body of Christ talking about self-esteem again, we have a lot of self-esteem from gifts. Now, I understand. I mean, when you're able to operate this gift or that gift, there's this confidence. Now I'm growing. Now God is trusting me, you know. You know, so I understand that confidence. I'm not knocking that. But I'm saying sometimes it's just that self-esteem. But don't forget, I mean, I would that you all will prophesy. So everybody should encourage everybody, you know, that there's a gift. Our motive, our motivator is love. So he begins to say, let me explain what this love thing is, guys. But to do that, allow me read some other version. All right, so 1 Corinthians 13. Let me start with what? Okay, NLT. So 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 says, love is patient and kind. You know, I think it was Kenneth Hagin I heard, you know, say that, you know, sometimes we could be patient, but we're not kind while we're being patient. You know, so it questions the patience eventually, really. You know, I'm waiting. You know, so, and then we say, I'm being patient, you know, but then not, so it puts them together, is patient and kind. So you and I have to understand that the love we have, so it's not, oh God, give us love. No, that we have it because Romans 5:5 says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. All right? And there are very many things in the church. There are very many actions and anti-love behaviors that we've put up a lot in the body of Christ. All right, and we justify them for very many reasons. You know, we justify them, all right? The way as a church leader, you know, you can talk to people you're following, you know, the way you can just, me, I don't take nonsense. You know, and then you're becoming irritable and you're defending it on whatever you want to call it, OCDs and all. We need a solid dose of this, okay? Of this, all of us, we just need this. Let's stop feeding the flesh and encouraging the flesh and claiming that, you know, you're not just trying to put standards here. Anyway, so love is not irritable, all right, and it keeps no record of being wronged. And this here, I've been guilty. I don't know who else out there is, but I'm sure a whole lot of us might have been. You did it last night. You did it last week. You did it last night. Yeah, that's how you've been doing. It does not. Love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Never loses faith. is always hopeful. See how it ties faith, hope here. Love never gives up, never loses faith, always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Verse 8, prophecies and speaking in unknown tongues and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. It will last forever. And this is not out of sight, out of mind kind of love. This is not you're good to me today, so I love you. If you step on my toes, I bite you tomorrow kind of love. No, this is love. This is God's holy word. This is God's pure word. This is love. This is the word. And this is what we're learning now. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest, the motivator, the regulator, the motive, the definer. The one that says, okay, these gifts were used well, is love. So once again, that love, the agape that we have, is patient, kind, not jealous, not boastful, not proud, not rude, not demanding its own way, not irritable, doesn't keep a record of being wronged. Does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when righteousness and truth wins out. Never gives up, never loses faith. Always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. But then we begin to ask, oh dear, how then, hey, this kind of love that God put in us is a whole lot of work now. What do we do? But I want to take us to a prayer that Paul prayed. You know, prayed for the Philippian church. And it's a prayer that began to make me see the combination of love and wisdom. So Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul is praying for the Philippian church. The Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9 of Philippians 1. He says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So our operation of love requires judgment. Someone says, how does it connect? Okay. So you because love never fails, love never loses hope, never loses faith. You would therefore need the revelation of God, the wisdom of the Holy Ghost, to know how to operate that love. Jesus, for instance, was his disciples, and he said, okay, Judas, whatever it is you want to go do, go do. It wasn't just a relationship and then Judas stabbed him. Oh, and I loved you and I trusted you to the last day and I never gave up on you. No, Jesus never really gave up on Judas. If not, I mean, he could have just stylishly looked for an opportunity somewhere. You know, there was a storm in the boat, you know, and then before he said peace, we still just stylishly hit Judas into the water. Let him drown. Let me kill this guy. No. And this is where hope comes in. Jesus understood his assignment. And that's what God is wanting all of us to learn, all right? Understanding our assignments. But I'm talking about, okay, so it has discernment. So someone comes and then says, please believe me, this is the truth. You know, and then you want to, because you want to act on 1 Corinthians 13. And says, love believes the best of everything. But Paul is saying that your love needs to operate with knowledge and discernment, knowledge and judgment. They say, I believe you, but the Holy Ghost is telling me something. I'm perceiving something else in my heart. So because the love walks with judgment, the love walks with discernment. Sometimes because it's love, you want to be careful what you say. Now, sometimes that love would need to look at a Peter and say, get thee behind me, Satan. And it was pure love. Pure love. That love will get into the temple and flog people out and say, the zeal of my father's house has consumed me. This is not people, you know, giving excuse for their flesh to rant or misbehave. No. Pure Jesus was the expression of God. So that action in the temple was accurate. That statement to Peter was accurate. Jesus is our example. So we see how he talks to his disciples. Yet again, on the other hand, we see how he confronted the Pharisees. And yet again, the Bible says he was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. So the way he talked to the Pharisees was without sin. And he was still a man of love. And he could confront the Pharisees. Not disciples, please note. Not the crowd that came to hear the word. Note. Even when he told them, "Are you following me not because you want to hear the word, but because you ate bread yesterday," he still talks to them. And no matter how funny questions the disciples ask him, he will still answer them. Even when he says, "How long will I bear with you?" he will still talk. So some people just model both and say, "Well, Jesus was blunt when he needed to be blunt," but look at who and when and why and how. So love requires discernment. Love requires judgment. How do we express this love thing a whole better? Galatians chapter 6. Excuse me, Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 22 of Galatians 5. So if I'm a person of love, then I'm patient and kind, all right? And then we'll look at all the qualities again in 1 Corinthians 13. So Galatians 5, Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love. So he didn't say the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. He says the fruit of the Spirit is. So it's one fruit of the Spirit. But in that fruit, there are components. And the first name called is love. So another way to say this is the fruit of the Spirit is love. Inside love, we find peace. And this agape love, this God nature. So let's see the components. Love. Then there's joy. Then there's peace. Then there's long suffering. That's patience. Again, love enduring all things that we saw in 1 Corinthians 13. We find gentleness. Love is patient and kind. We find goodness. We find faith. We find meekness. We find self-control. Against this love walk, there is no law. We can't overdo it. We can't overdo it. Let's take that again. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And there's joy. And then there's peace. And you have to be a person of joy. And I know we're all learning that. You know, joy doesn't have room for depression. Refuse to be depressed. Refuse to be down. Talk to your soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Talk to your soul. There's peace. There's peace within, and then there's peace with men. So learn to be at peace. Learn to be at peace. Learn to be at peace. And the primary way to get peace is by acting on God's word. All right? Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God will guard your heart." So the way to get the peace of God to guard your heart effectively is to act on the word in verse 6 that says, "Be anxious for nothing." All right? And they describe the peace as one that passes all understanding in verse 7. He says that peace, act on the word to get it. All right? Act on the word. And like my wife encouraged us when she was leading prayer this morning from Isaiah, you know, that says it will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on the word. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. It will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on the word. So it's a relationship with the word. You could pray for 5 hours and still be perturbed. You could fast for 7 days and still, but it will keep in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on him? He will keep in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on him? And if you remember the way Paul wrote it in Philippians, let me go there, let's come back. All right, we'll go come back. Philippians 4. So that you see the way he wrote, you know, verse 6, 7, and 8. It 6, 7, and 8. Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8. Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8. All right. Philippians chapter 4. I want you to see this. Be careful. That's anxious. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, not some things, guys, everything, everything. Let nothing make you anxious. Let nothing shake you. All right. If lockdown becomes 2 months lockdown, tell yourself, I refuse to be anxious. And as I said that, oh, God forbid, I said if. Let nothing ever shake you, okay? Someday God might send some of you to like where? Northern Africa? Northern Nigeria? Where, guys? Where? Rwanda? South Sudan? We're not raising Lagos Christians. We're not raising Convenient Christians. All right? We're not raising Convenient Christians. Don't say, if I move to Kano, my house will be this and this. By the time you get there as a missionary, you might need to look at the people first before you carry a standard and wonder who you are and what you're doing. Anyway. Be careful, anxious for nothing. But in everything, please note the instruction. This is an instruction. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Are you getting this now? And verse 7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. But you have to be anxious for nothing. Sometimes we want God to put the peace there so that we are not anxious for anything. You be anxious for nothing. The peace of God will show up. Because the peace is within you. But to unlock the peace, refuse to be anxious. And this is how it works. You haven't heard from someone who traveled. Then phone is not connecting. You don't know what's going on. Your own battery is also at 1%. So you've not been able to reach the person's phone. Your phone is about to go off. You don't even know if person will try to reach you later. And then the more you think about it, your stomach begins to turn. You can't eat. You can't sleep well. You're being affected. The more you think about it, now that applies to, sometimes it's just the fact that, oh, have I contracted this? Maybe you went and helped somebody or then something caught your hand at the mechanics workshop and then there was blood. All these mechanics here, they might have HIV or yeah, have I contracted? And then you find out for the next few days, you're feeling nauseated. The more you meditate on it, the more you think about it, it's filling up your mind. You can't eat, you can't sleep. But while that is going on deep within you, there's this calmness. If you now yield to the calmness, you realize that peace begins to rise within you. The nausea begins to drop. It might be gradual, but it will drop. So it's in you yielding. If you yield to anxiety, the peace that is in you as a fruit of the Spirit won't find the expression to guard your heart and mind. If you yield and keep your mind on the word of God, as Isaiah tells us, then you find the peace coming up. Are you getting this thing? So it's not, God, give me peace, then I'll not be anxious. No, you be anxious for nothing. Then the peace will rise because it's within you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, my prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, he's still telling you the use of your mind and how peace operates. Whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on it. It's teaching you now how to guard your mind with the peace of God. You keep your mind on the right thing. Because if you're the, you could give gist about someone to someone else and say, well, it's true. Now, is it not true? And I heard it's honest now. But is it just? Is it righteous gist? Is it pure stuff? Is it stuff you should talk about? Is it lovely? Is it good report? Does it bring about praise? If the answer is no, then drop it. Or maybe if you're the type you want to confront someone, is the truth. I'm confronting because, but you find out it loses peace because it's not good report. It's not virtue. It's not praise. Or maybe you're just one on your own, sitting there and thinking. The thought, this person did this to me. This person did this to me. I'm not talking. They know I don't talk. They know I don't talk. But they know you don't talk, but what are you thinking? Is it of virtue? Is it of praise? Is it pure? You know? Is it pure? I don't greet whoever doesn't greet me. If you don't, it's all right, but you're just thinking on the wrong thing. You're thinking about them. Thinking about them too much. You're giving too much attention to people. That's all you're doing. But when you put your mind on the word of God, then you're fine. So I've explained this part. Okay, so let's Galatians, and then we'll close on Galatians. So I'm a person of love, all right? So if I'm a person of love, Galatians 5:22, love now has joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Let me read that in NLT. Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. Amplified. I'll read Amplified Classic. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy. Next is inner peace. Patience. It now explains it as not the ability to wait, but how. All right, let me read this one. Not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. Remember I said that about love is patient and kind in 1 Corinthians 13. Not the ability to wait, but how we act, how we behave while waiting. That's the fruit of the Spirit, all right? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All right, let's go to Amplified Classic. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love. Joy there is gladness, peace, patience, and even temper and forbearance. Kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, which is meekness, humility, self-control, which is self-restraint and continence. It says, against such, there is no law. So if I'm a person of love, then I must endeavor to cultivate these characters. These are the components of the love work. All right, you look at 1 Corinthians 13, and then you come here again. All right? So let's pray that prayer in Philippians 1 and 9. That vital prayer for the church. The prayers of Paul are Spirit-inspired prayers. So he says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that your love will grow more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. The whole love of God is in all of your spirit, but it needs to find its expression through your soul in better knowledge and depth of insight. 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 And like Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3, that we may know the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of the love of God. The length, the depth, the breadth, and the height of the love of God. That we may come into a reality of this kind of love that has been poured out into our hearts. That we may come into a greater reality of this kind of love that is within us. That we may increase in peace, increase in patience, increase in tolerance. That we may increase in our operations of this component within us already. that we may give them more and more expression, that we may yield to them more and more. That we may yield to them more and more. That we may yield, that we may know, Father. That we may come into a greater understanding, a fuller revelation of this love that we have received. And that it grows, that revelation grows in us in knowledge and in depth of insight. Depth of insight. Please understand, I'm not praying that God will give us love. That's not the prayer. I'm not praying that God will give us joy. That's not a prayer. All right, James says, count it all joy. These things are components. They are within our spirits already because the Holy Ghost put it there. Oh, thank you, Father. 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 Thank you. Thank you that we grow in our understanding of the nature that we have. That we grow in our revelation of this nature that we have received. That we grow. For you said, Jesus, that by this will men know that we are disciples. When we display agape, when we display this love, this genuine, God-breathed, God-impacted, God-nature love. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You could personalize it as I'm praying it over us. That we grow in this revelation of love. That we grow this, we grow in our expressions of these components of agape, in peace, in patience, in kindness and goodness, or in long suffering. Thank you, God, because you are the one at work in us to will, at work in us to do. So we know that we are strengthened to do. We know that we're strengthened to do, that we're going to wash our minds with your word again and again, again and again, till the thoughts that fill us will be thoughts of agape, till the actions that flow through us will be actions of agape. Because we're a people of faith, a people of hope, and a people of love. We're a people of faith, a people of hope, a people of love. Oh, our faith is sure. Our hope is steadfast. And our love is pure. Thank you. Oh, we give you praise. We honor you. We thank you. We give you praise. Oh, we give you praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Please note the way I prayed it. I wasn't asking for love. I wasn't asking for peace. Please note the way I prayed it. It's you can speak the word in the place of prayer. Thank you, Father. We have your love. You know, thank you, Father, because we keep our minds on your word. Therefore, your peace is in our hearts. You're speaking it in the place of prayer. All right. So you're defining your mind as you're saying those things. But you still end up going back to the word and then wash. You wash yourself with the word of God, okay? You wash yourself with the word, you know, and then we keep growing by acting on God's word, right? Praise God. Okay, so I believe we've had a wonderful time this morning. This is available, you know, you could listen to it often. You could download. You could play it as often as you want. You could share. Share with friends, you know, feel free to share with friends. I believe you had a good time. Please drop your feedback. I know there are comments already. Here, so you could also drop it here, and then you know, but send feedbacks, all right, directly or through the leaders. But please don't forget, this season spread faith, spread hope, spread love, all right. Be a person of faith. Let this season reveal your faith in Christ Jesus more and more than anything else. And then spread hope, not despair, all right. Spread hope, all right. No matter how much knowledge we gain in this season, spread hope, and then yeah. Love, all right? Check up on people, show love, ask people how they're doing, you know, just. And please, if you need anyone to talk to, like I have had to say, you're in a family. So whilst you have your natural biological family, you also have your spiritual family, of which I believe members of your natural family belong to, but I'm referring to the church family. Kindly reach out. Reach out to somebody, please. It might be emotional. It's not always financial. Just it could be scriptures. It could be, but let's bond so that it's not when we meet, when this whole restriction is over, let it be that we missed seeing ourselves physically, but not that there was a high level of disconnect, you know, and then we have to reintroduce ourselves all over again, you know. So please don't stay off. Don't stay off. And like I said on Wednesday, endeavor to give, all right. If you have and you can share, and you can, even if you don't have enough, you could find something. Something could be 100 naira airtime, 50 naira airtime. You know, it could have to be a blessing. And let nothing ever stop you from being a believer. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you know, talked about the Macedonian church in their deep poverty giving. So just learn to give, even if it's one person. God knows the volume and the value, all right? He knows all that, you know. So please don't relent, all right? Can you sow seeds to the ministry account? Yes, because there are things we're still doing and I will continue to do. You know, we still actually sow the seed, you know, somewhere. And I know we'll still do one like today or tomorrow because I was in need, you know, somewhere also by ministry. There's this missionary. I will still want to introduce him to us more. All right. So he's in Liberia and Sierra Leone and a few other places. And we've had to sow to them. And then he still sent me a message and said people don't even have food. And I mean, so it's what we have as a ministry we're able to give. All right. What we have, you know, we can send forth or put out and be a blessing also. But you are in-house. So please, whatever the leaders, all of us can come together and try to do. All right. So everything we do is by faith, really. You know, all the meetings we've been doing is by faith. And thank God, even though Influence of Spirit was online, we still have had people sow seeds, you know, after watching the videos. And so it's just a blessing. Some sowed before, some sowed after, and some of us did. You know, some non-members of this ministry, well, of the church, you know, but they are partners of the ministry. And we thank God for all of that. And we know that God makes all grace abound in the name of Jesus, that in all things, at all times, we have all that we need, you know, and we abound. All right, so let's stick together. Let's stay together. Love and miss every one of you. I'm looking forward to us connecting, but in the meantime, let's keep connecting. All right, have a glorious day. Bye.